A great crowd, a great multitude gathers around Jesus. They come to hear him and they come to be healed. Jesus heals diseases of the body. He cures those with unclean spirits. He heals the huge gathering of people, of disease, of body, and spirit. However, he gives them more healing than they even bargained for. His words are also a cure to the disease of mind and soul. These words of blessing, these words of woe, are difficult to understand and to process. They are perplexing. I believe Jesus intentionally speaks this way so that we will not just gloss over what he says, but ponder them, meditate upon his words. Not what they mean only, but also the impact that God wants to have through his words. His words are meant to comfort the oppressed and to oppress the comfortable. His words are not meant to say one group of them is blessed in that category and the other one is the not blessed. His words give us a path to his blessing and to live that life of blessing that he gives. Just a few weeks ago, I had a biometric screening. I went to the hospital, they drew blood. I couldn't eat for 12 hours before. They tested my blood in order to assess my health and suggest ways of my being healthier. They measured the glucose level to see how healthy my pancreas is. They measured 5 different types of cholesterol to see how healthy my heart is. They determined how much body fat I have. They measured my blood pressure. The next day, I got the results. Some of the areas were green, within a healthy range. Other areas were red, needing improvement. Each result had a paragraph of what I could do to be healthier. In a way, this is what and how we should hear Jesus speak to us with these words. These are Jesus' metrics, so to speak, giving us a soul screening. His words are not meant to shame us. He's not putting us permanently into the category of the blessed or the non-blessed. When Jesus says, "Blessed are you," green, he wants us to understand that our blessings are not always easy to recognize. We may suffer poverty, hunger, sadness, be the objects of hatred and persecution. We may wonder, where is God? Has he abandoned us? He is not. Even though it may be difficult for us to recognize, God loves us. He is with us. His blessings continue to flow. When Jesus says, "Woe to you," red, he wants us to know that he is grieved. He is saddened. He's singing a dirge for us. Woe to you who are all consumed by the pursuit of material things, riches, food, pleasure, good times, human approval, and applause. In the end, those things are not where blessings are to be found. We've been looking for happiness in all the wrong places, Jesus says. And so in addition to asking the question, what does Jesus' words mean? We should ask the question, what impact does Jesus want to have on us with these words? To what end does Jesus say these profound things? He wants us to see the futility of pursuing worldly gain. He wants us to see the blessing of a relationship with him despite the world's pain. He wants us to see our lives transformed by our new identity as followers of Jesus and as children of God, as members and citizens of his kingdom, who have been healed of body, mind, soul, and spirit. These words call us to a greater purpose, to not merely live for ourselves, but to live for what transcends this world, God and his kingdom. With each "blessed are you," God is drawing us near to him to see where he's blessed us. And with each "woe to you," God is calling us to let go and surrender those things that will never bring us fulfillment. Do we see that God has blessed us? Even though we may have come up short in the things of the world, do we see what saddens God, what grieves him, when we put our energy and our lot into those things that will surely pass away? True repentance is a change of mind, a transformation of the way we think, a different perspective, a turning away from a path of meaningless and emptiness. It's a turning toward the path of true fulfillment in a relationship with God that makes all the things in this world pale in comparison to his beauty. We are citizens of the kingdom of God, Jesus says. It is ours. God has purchased us, not with gold or silver, or the riches of this world, but by his precious blood. We're rich in forgiveness and eternal life. Our inheritance will never pass away. We will never be richer in the love of God as we are now, so powerfully revealed in his Son, Jesus Christ. We will also be filled with the marriage feast, the marriage supper of the Lamb in his kingdom that will have no end. Our hunger will be turned to filling. Even today, we will fill our mouths with the body and blood of our Lord. We'll feast on his forgiveness. We'll feast on his assurance that we are his blessed children. We can laugh. We can smile even in the midst of difficulty. We know that greater is he who is within us than he who is in the world. It may seem like our troubles have the upper hand, but God will gain the victory for us. We rejoice now. We celebrate what God has done for us in his Son, Jesus Christ, because we are so richly blessed to be his children, to know him, and even more importantly, to be known by him. O God, O Lord of heaven and earth, thy living finger never wrote that life should be an aimless mote, a deathward drift from futile birth. Thy word meant life, triumph hurled in splendor through thy broken world. Since light awoke and life began, thou hast desired thy life for man. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.